Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live at Texas Star Grill Shop, as the man just said. I bring that up because there's delicious red meat coming off of the grill. If you stop by here, this isn't one of those deals where we're three radio guys that sit here and go, oh, look at all the great food we're eating and you don't get any. If you stop out here, they are very generous with the red meat coming off of that grill. They run a nice ship here at Texas Star Grill Shop, down there on Shepherd near the station, up here on Louetta and Spring. So stop by and say hello. Clint's got his plate holding out right now like a dog begging.
I know. I was showing you. These look like my granny's old plates right here. They even serve it to you on an old school plate, baby.
They do, man. It feels like you're at Thanksgiving dinner, but with a cow instead of a turkey.
It's got a tomato, a pumpkin. Looks like a, what's that flower right there? Big sundaesy? Big
magnolia, maybe?
No, it's a yellow sunflower, man. What do you call it, a magnolia?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, doesn't get any better, man. I mean, they got the best meat, the best prices as well. It's a meat market up here.
It is
a
meat. They double as a meat market up here.
Grill and meat.
No question about it. Ben Volen was on In the Loop earlier today, and he kind of played this whole thing out with the Texans and Caserio and the Patriots and the tampering and everything else. And he thinks ultimately at the end of the day, Texan fans, you're going to have a new general manager named Nick Caserio.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think the only end game here is Caserio going Houston. I think at this point it's pretty clear. If we're this far down the road with tampering charges and it's getting nasty with the fight, I think it's pretty clear that Caserio wants to leave and he wants to take this job. And I think the Patriots are just trying to see what they can get out of it. So I think at this point Caserio is going to be with the Texans in 2019.
I hope this is the case. I'm anxious to see how long it takes to play out. My thing going into last night, Rich, as I was going home to write about this and go read more stories about it and whatnot, we didn't really have a tell one way or the other on Caserio, other than you and I just sort of supposing that this, if we had to bet, this would mean that Caserio's interested in the job, but we didn't know. The next tell was going to be either finding out from guys like Ben Volen that that's the case, or if the Texans had started to go find more candidates to go talk to an interview, then you would know that, okay, well, this is really just a case of the Patriots trying to go get a pound of flesh. If the Texans are moving on, then maybe Caserio doesn't want to come here. That doesn't appear to be the case.
No, I agree. I actually think this is pretty cut and dried. And it boils down to whether or not the Patriots have a leg to stand on, and we've talked about it on two fronts, whether they can prove tampering and whether they can prove that the position he holds is one where they can deny permission to interview. If the Patriots are ruled, if the league rules against the Patriots on those two points, then we're home free.
Yeah.
This happens. I feel like this is more of a when and how than an if. It does feel inevitable to me.
But yeah. Go ahead, Clint.
Just the Patriots' willingness to stamp this thing with tampering, I think it screams that clearly they're willing to part ways. I mean, they're willing to part ways with the guy. You know, I wouldn't think if you're trying to keep that not that Bill Belichick gives a rip, but if you're trying to keep that relationship kosher and that all with all the warm and fuzzies that exist up there in New England, then the last thing you do is start screaming tampering, right? I mean, and so that, and then the Texans' willingness to essentially respond with, you know, we're anchoring down and we're fighting this thing through, all of that screams that it's a real possibility. I don't know what's going to happen in the end, but there's definitely some meat on his bone with this candidate out of New England.
Tampering more than likely is a two-way street, right? I mean, if you're alleging tampering, you're essentially saying that Nick Caserio, your employee, engaged in this inappropriate conversation. So I'm with you, Clint. There's no way he's going back to the Patriots after an allegation like that. He's going to walk back in the room where Bill Belichick, for the record, believed that he was part of an inappropriate conversation about bailing on the organization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
Yeah. Well, you don't see it from a standpoint of the Patriots or from a standpoint of Caserio?
More Caserio than the Patriots. Yeah. I don't see how he goes back in that room.
I was going to say, because this guy seems pretty valuable to what they do there.
It's a serious allegation,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. It is. And here's what I hope happens with the Texans. And the time of year when this whole thing is taking place, I think, is conducive to what I'm about to talk about. But don't roll over on either of these things. You know, if they're coming to you trying to trying to come to some sort of the equivalent of an NFL plea bargain on this tampering thing, and you feel strongly that Jack Easterby and you as an organization didn't tamper, don't roll over. Let the league rule on it, and then let the chips fall where they may. If you get through this tampering thing, and Rich, to your point about the other facet of what could lead to compensation for the Patriots, that the position that Caserio is interviewing for is indeed a step up from the one that he has with the Patriots. Let the league rule on that as well. Don't start to engage the Patriots in conversations about draft compensation without letting the league rule on this thing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the possession arrow is pointed towards the Texans on both of these things.
That's called digging in.
In my mind, and which is what Rappaport said they're doing. The burden of proof on this tampering thing, to me, is on the Patriots. Let that thing play out. The burden of proof that Caserio is going for a job that is the equivalent of what he's doing in New England, where it would require the Patriots some sort of permission or compensation, that burden of proof, the possession arrow there, to me, is pointed against the Patriots as well. If you're the Texans, dig in, let it play out, because it's June. It's June. There's nothing going on personnel-wise around the league for the next 6 weeks that requires you to have somebody in that role.
Well, I don't know about that, Sean. Maybe not that role. But are you under the impression that there's guys in the building that can make the decision or at least move the needle on the Clowney situation or move the needle on a guy that, again, I don't even know the status of the Trent Williams deal right now, but if that situation were to come back, I mean, I think all those negotiations and every other one that come up between now and then, I think the reset button has been hit on every one of those with this move. Are you under the impression that there's somebody in the building right now, Sean, that would be qualified to make those decisions?
Yes, because I think the Clowney thing, Clint, at this point is a contract thing. It's a number thing. And you got Chris Olsen in the building who does the salary cap stuff. His job is to do these contracts. I also think, to McClain's point last week when he was on with us, that the Clowney situation is as much say that O'Brien is having. That is something that I think the GM and the head coach, a long-term deal for Clowney, are going to need to be simpatico on. So I think the die is cast on Clowney in my mind. The Trent Williams thing, I would love to see somebody step up and make a Trent Williams deal, but that's a very specific trade that I feel like if they see the Caserio thing's going to play out for a little bit, I don't want them to jump the what I don't want them to do is jump the gun on hiring somebody other than their first choice because they feel like they need to. That's how you wound up with Brian Gain.
Right.
You know, they wanted Caserio the first time around, and the thing that prevented him from interviewing wasn't that he didn't want the job, it's that the Patriots were in the playoffs. But the Texans apparently felt like they needed to hire somebody as the GM with the combine and the draft and everything else coming up.
And all that's behind them at this point in time.
You have the luxury of time now that you didn't have before.
Sure. Yeah, I still believe again that if my reading between the lines of Bill O'Brien in the first press conference of Cal explained to me very specifically what I needed to do to take this team, allow this team to take the next step, I took that as hit their what they believed needed to happen for 2019 to be a success was not in line with Gaines' way of doing business.
Yes.
Essentially, those stars weren't aligned. Then the whole we have time on our side now doesn't align. You know, does that make sense? Like, just in my way of thinking, mm-hmm. I'm just going, man, we just fired a guy because we're not. Because there's no aggressive moves being made, and we're going to build it this way, and we're going to hold cap space, and now all of a sudden we're going to sit here and go, well, you know, we can just let this thing kind of. I think there needs to be a sense of urgency to fix this offensive line, and I'm concerned, man.
I'm
as concerned today as I was, Sean, 6 months ago.
I'm 100% with you, but if your first choice is somebody, you've got to wait for a process to play out over four to 5 weeks. You know, what if you were to hire your second or third choice to be the general manager, what's that person going to be able to do with the offensive line? You know what I mean? Like all those things that require urgency.
And the last thing you want to do is bring a GM that clearly wants to put an emphasis on culture and a guy's history. The last thing you want to do is sign a franchise left tackle that doesn't check every box in his eyes, and that's what he starts.
Yeah.
That's what he starts his job with, his tenure with the Texans. That's what he starts with. So I can see both sides of it. I just know as I sit back and watch this thing, every minute of every day matters, man, when you're Deshaun Watson. And when you look at this 2019 schedule and what, you know, the clock is ticking, brother. We got to make some moves, man.
Well, the second choice, I guess theoretically and maybe logically, if they don't get Nick Caserio, the name that you hear also in the building up in New England would be Monty Ossenfort, their director of college scouting. who is a much more anonymous person in that organization than Caserio is. Caserio is the golden boy. Monty Ossenford is much more behind the scenes. But Ben Volen, to that point, Ben Volen, who covers the team, was asked about Monty Ossenford today on In the Loop, and here's what he had to say.
I honestly can't tell you a whole lot about Monty Ossenford. This is the Patriots, and he's one of these guys that he does a million things behind the scenes, and the Patriots give you a one-sentence bio of him. I know he's been in charge of their college drafting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I could pick him out of a police lineup, to be perfectly honest with you. I just know he's, you know, they have a lot of talented, hardworking young guys. I know they've had a bunch from John Carroll University in Ohio. I'm not 100% sure if he's part of that crew. But, you know, Monty Ossenford, Dave Ziegler, these are the guys behind Nick Caserio in the front office. And if you think Nick Caserio has been anonymous with the Patriots, these guys have been tenfold.
Is there a John Carroll mafia in New England?
There may very well be.
Wow.
Yeah, there may very well be.
Look, I think very highly of New England's college scouting department and their ability to develop those players. Clearly, mm-hmm. the guy has an eye for talent. I mean, I know being an Arkansas guy, Dietrich Wise Jr. was a guy that was a disappointment at Arkansas. I had a hard time staying on the field and from a talent standpoint, just never blossomed. And they saw something and take him up there. And I'm watching the Super Bowl two straight years, and he's on the field. Trey Flowers has got that was a great college player, but was undersized and needed to be used in a unique way. And they found a way to do that. So I'm as high as anybody and as familiar, I guess, as anybody with what, I guess this guy's title, not with him, but of
but
what
their
his
ability
responsibilities
to find players
were.
That do what they do is remarkable.
But I'm still out. If it comes down to that, Sean, I'm punting, and we're talking dysfunction again. We're back to the same conversation of, wait a minute.
So you're Caserio or bust, or is it anything about Ossenford's background that leads you to that conclusion?
I'm not necessarily a bust, but if this was your guy that you were going after from the jump, and he's got all the rings, and you're familiar with him, you tried to hire him before, right. I can buy into your belief if you're the Texans. I can buy into that. I can get behind it. I can run with it. If that doesn't work out, and then your next option is your second best option from New England, now I'm buying into the group, right? I'm buying into the group that that thinks that what are they? New England of the South or the Patriots of the South or whatever. Now yeah. I hate when people say that currently, but if they start taking the second best thing out of New England's front office that they have to offer and we're offering him as a GM, then I got a punt on that deal.
I'd be very disappointed if they settled for Ossenford and were unable to get Caserio. Caserio's the golden boy. Caserio's the jack of all trades. Caserio's the guy who Belichick has just gushed over in terms of his ability to wear so many different hats and perform so many different jobs at a high level. I mean, it doesn't take very long to search online for interviews where Belichick went off at length talking about Nick Caserio and how much he means to the organization. And, you know, I know that Ben Volen just said, you know, a lot of these guys run around there and they're very anonymous, and there's a bunch of guys from John Carroll. Maybe he's one of those guys. But he certainly doesn't come with the same sort of attractiveness, not even close, that Caserio brings.
No.
So would you be okay with that, or are you punting?
No, to me it's Caserio or bust.
Right. I mean, well, it's Caserio, or are you open his thing wide open and you go make a push
yes.
for Will McClay,
yeah,
that, regardless
I would not
of what Jerry says.
For.
I mean, you go get yeah. the best guy available. You don't settle for the second best thing that New England's got to offer.
Yeah,
that's
where the luxury of time comes in. Like, I'm guessing they've got a pecking order of guys, but I'm with you.
That's where you go, what in the hell did y'all do Friday, right? I mean, that's where you start going, wait a minute. Now, there has to be a plan. Like, right now, there's no doubt in my mind. Whether it works out or not is totally irrelevant to me, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Texans had a plan before, during, and after the firing of Gain. There is clearly a plan, and it's strategic.
It's Caserio.
It's strategic, yes, and they're locked in, and they're willing to dig in. Hey, I can get behind that, baby.
Ossenford feels like a desperation move. Like, okay, we can't get Caserio, but we got to have somebody from New England.
Hey, you sure Lock Dog didn't dream that up right there, that Ossenford stuff? You sure he didn't make that up?
Who, Lock Dog?
You sure Lock Dog?
No,
didn't
his
break
name
that up?
Was, no. Ossenford was coming up.
I thought
throughout
he was just. I didn't know if
yeah.
he was just trolling, stirring the pot, trying to get his new cut some play.
Well, it's not like he's never done that.
Cecil Shorts is listening right now, and as we sit here and kind of go, well, this is John Carroll mafia. Just know that to Cecil Shorts, John Carroll is a hated enemy. Who's the most hated enemy of Arkansas, Clint?
Are you asking me personally?
Who's
Tennessee?
For me personally? Well, yeah, for you personally, but like, who's considered Arkansas's rival? biggest rival, LSU?
We don't really have one. Ole Miss probably is the most hated.
Well, the John Carroll is apparently the Ole Miss to Cecil Shorts's Mountain Union.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like big rivals. He said, we used to kill them every time we played them in college. They're in our conference.
This just in, Mount Union killed everybody.
They did, yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, they were.
Well, let me go ahead and tell
you. They were like the White Walkers.
Ole Miss stomped a mud hole in our ass a couple times, so I'm probably not going to be texting anybody if they start talking about Ole Miss.
Don't you think before the breakup of the Southwest Conference, Arkansas-Texas was the
back
big
in the
rivalry?
Day. Yeah, back in the day. That was, I mean, hell, like I was about 8 when that was going on. But, yes, there's no doubt Texas-Arkansas used to be a huge rivalry across all of college football, not just the Southwest Conference.
All due respect, stupid people doing stupid things. We discuss them live from Texas Star Grill Shop, 8905 Luetta. Next, you're listening to The Triple Threat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.